These two incidents that Matthew tells us today conclude chapter 9. Therefore, that whole follow-up in chapters 8 and 9 from the Sermon on the Mount, which is 5, 6, 7. And so we have the 10th of the miracles. And then we have this description of Jesus going around. Now, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. In this verse, we have this: Jesus sees this man possessed by a demon and drives him out. All deliverance and exorcism ministry is a ministry of mercy. And we should pray for those who engage in this in a very serious way. Every priest has to be ready to do this. But some are anointed in a particular way and appointed. Most dioceses, or I wish most, many dioceses, have, as every diocese should have, at least one person who's been designated by the bishop as the exorcist to free people of these demons. In most dioceses today, we could use 4 or 5. Because as faith gets weak, demons come in. And they harass people and they possess people. And the suffering is terrible. And it's a ministry of mercy to free these people from these things. And as I say, there are many psychological factors, of course. You know, sometimes you have to sometimes pray and discern very carefully whether this is a psychological problem or a demonic problem. Sometimes it's both. He drives him out of mercy. As we're going to see really later here too. His heart was moved with pity for everybody. Pity is not really the right word there. And then, for the last time in this chapter, we see this division that our Lord, in his being, in his compassion, in his activity, creates. The crowds were amazed and said, "We never saw anything like this in Israel." And the Pharisees say, "He drives these demons out by the prince of demons." Now think of the blindness. Matthew will repeat this charge and then record some of our Lord's answers to it. But, you know, this is what Mark calls the sin against the Holy Spirit, to attribute to Satan a work that is of the Holy Spirit, precisely because of this charge. Think of the hardness that's going on there. Isn't it frightening? And to think that any one of us could get that hard if the Lord didn't sustain us by his mercy, lead us to repentance for our sins, urge us, help us. We could all get that hard. And it's frighteningly hard, because if you die and don't repent, you go to hell. And that's serious. Nobody goes to hell unless they want to. But the awesome, frightening thing is that a human heart can get so hard that a person prefers to go to hell and be tortured for eternity rather than be with God. You say, that's crazy. Just turn on the TV and look at all the crazy. Look at what's going on. Then he repeats word for word what he said in chapter 4, just before he introduced the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. That's his mission. Creating that environment in which people will see and some understand, so that when he rises from the dead, his disciples have a background in their being to understand what's happened. The Son of God has risen from the dead. This is all preparation. The the final and most intense preparation after a millennium of getting the Jewish people ready, finally this intense preparation, Jesus himself there, preaching, teaching, healing, to get them ready, said some will understand when he dies and rises who he is and what has just happened. And then the Holy Spirit will flood the minds of those apostles. And they'll be so clear and so courageous that they will go out and tell the world about this. And that's what we have at the last part of this. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with compassion. Pity's not the right word, you know. You see, mercy looks to the person. Pity looks to the need. So, pity, you can sign a check to the United Way. And mercy, you've got to be there. It's got to be personal. So our Lord isn't filled with pity. He's filled with mercy, compassion. It's the word in the text means the splunkna are the innards. And the text, the word is splunknizome. His innards are moved by this. Because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. So he says, pray. Pray that the master of the harvest send out thousands, thousands of people to preach. My friends, that's us. That's us. Of course, there are apostles and missionaries, but this is us every day. I think perhaps when we die, we'll begin to appreciate the enormity of the privilege that has been ours. To be baptized, to hear the word of God, to be able to come to Mass every day, receive the body and blood of Jesus, hear the word of God, be enlightened, corrected, helped, and strengthened, you see. So that you can see that the motive, the basic motive for evangelization is the same as the basic motive for deliverance and exorcism. Mercy. Love. I mean, you walk down any city street and see these kids totally abandoned, knowing nothing. So, of course, they're violent, or they're stealing, or they're whatever. Where have they ever met Jesus, who is their salvation for eternity? Or you go to the country club, and you see all these wealthy people, arrogant, blind, stupid, and lost. They have all the comforts, but they have nothing. And they're going to die and see, oh, you know, the Lord will have mercy on most of them, I think. But I wasted my life. I never sought God. I never cared for those underprivileged. I wasted my life. Do you see how we have to pray every day and be wise? And the Lord is working in us right now. You know, these messages he gives us through Anne, right? I want the whole world to see me in you. So give me your life. Don't resist anymore. Just give me your life. Boy, you will be glad. You will be glad. Even in this life, you'll be glad. And I'll be glad. Because you've done what I did. You see, pity means all those poor, ignorant people. See, mercy means, aren't we all in a mess? But by the mercy of God, I know how to get out of this mess. I'm not too far out myself, but I know how. I've got to tell people. Drive, drive, drive. So, in the grocery store, maybe you can only smile at somebody. Maybe you can lift them somehow. Let them see the smile of Christ in you. If that's all they get for the whole day, that's something, right? Talk to them. Think of smart ways to say things you know, I mean, you don't walk up in the grocery store and say, repent. I mean, that's not going to do much good. But what do? You know, well, I don't know. You pray. The Holy Spirit will tell you. And just plant a seed or start a friendship or whatever. You see, if we have any idea of the greatness of what God has done for us, absolutely without any merit of our own, and know what it's like without it, if we've ever lived that way, we just say, I've got to tell these people. I've got to somehow let them know. And we share in this heart of Jesus. I've just got to tell them. Well, I'd be a little embarrassed. Oh, so what? I could get dismissed as a religious nut. Well, you are one. So who cares? Take a chance. Be smart. You know, as I say, don't start off with repent, you know. But how do we reach people? How do we reach people? So that they come to see the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ, freeing them from sin and preparing them for an eternal life. That's the way the chapter ends. Then, tune in tomorrow. We start the missionary discourse. Go out, preach, heal, do whatever you got to do. Don't carry anything. Just go. Some people are supposed to do exactly that, literally. All of us are supposed to do something. I think I've told you this story maybe more than once. St. Francis was preaching away. He got ordained a deacon so he could preach. He didn't want to be a priest. That's too much. But a deacon, so he could preach. So then he went and spent a lot of time up on Mount Alvernia, and it was beautiful, and he received the stigmata, and, you know. But Claire, his close friend, sent him a message. Francis, the Lord says this to you. I have not called you for yourself alone. Go down from that mountain and preach. I didn't call you just for yourself. I love you. You will be with me forever. I can hardly wait to be with you, my little friend. But go preach. Strengthen your brethren. Form that order, which is still gone. So let's pray about that today. Let's see if we can really talk to somebody, somehow show Christ to somebody today.